Blog Talk Radio.
I worship you alone, blessed Savior, my God, from the depths of my heart. I'll give all praise and honor to you, O matchless King. Yeah.
Worship you alone.
Blessed Savior.
Oh Lord.
From the depths of my heart. Yeah.
I give all praise
and honor, to you, O matchless King. There is no one like you in all the earth. I'll praise and magnify your name. Ooh.
There is no one like
nobody like you
in all the earth.
I'll praise.
Welcome to Prophecy Alive, and I am your host, seer and prophet, and I'm coming to you today in Jesus' name, and we will be discussing and teaching on the family relationship. We're going to look at how God ordained the family and how family members should treat one another, and then we're going to talk about the duties of a husband and wives, parents and children, and how important, ladies and gentlemen, are love and commitment in marriages. For what cause many spouses divorce and remarry? Who should exercise authority as head in the home? Who should provide family care? And how diligent should parents be in teaching and training the children? Parents use spanking, discipline, and punishment to motivate obedience. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that it doesn't take beatings and things of this sort, because look at how God loves us and look how much we have disobeyed God. God still loves us. Frankly, we beat ourselves up when we don't obey God. I want to talk about this. It's so important for parents to line up with God's word, not in a religious, dogmatic teaching. I just don't flow like that. But I'm going to show you the love of God concerning relationships and marriages. We can turn this thing around, but it has to start with the husband and wives, the parents. And we can do this. If people can claim liberty in their own righteousness, surely we that love the gospel of Jesus can claim the liberty and freedom in the Lord. Father, right now, I give you praise for your people. I thank you for what you're going to do tonight in your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and how you loved us and how you care for us and how you are calling us to holiness, not man-made holiness, but the holiness that is of the word of God. And I give you praise tonight, and I thank you that you are doing this thing, and the enemy will not defeat us in any way. Father, right now, we ask you to touch and deliver and make whole and save. And I decree right now that your hand may be strong tonight in this teaching. Holy Spirit, my good friend, I thank you that you always are with me. You're always with your people. Those people, Lord, that want you seem to be running into roadblocks. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. And I command right now that the power of God may come upon this situation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, bless God. I'm going to start off right now. I have a 443 area code. I'm coming to you now in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Well, God bless you.
Wonderful. Glad to hear from you, Lance.
Glad to hear from you, too. You are checking, but you every week make sure you're on the straight path.
Thank you. I need that. Keep me on the straight path. Praise God.
I was waiting on that. Huh?
Accountability, I love it. Go ahead.
Oh no, I know you are. I know you're good. I was joking.
It's okay.
Well, I'm praying for you anyway. So if you wasn't good, you still gonna be good anyway. So how about that?
I love that about you. God has truly sent you, and you keep me on my toes. And I praise God for you. You know, Lance, the Lord dealt with me and. Me and my Queen Katrina, we was discussing this, and we were counseling many, and it laid on me. I could hardly sleep, and I want to share this with the people of God concerning families.
Right.
So I know you'd be praying in the background.
I will.
Love you, son.
Love you too.
Thank you for being you and all of your love and support.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Hallelujah. That's Lance. I'm telling you, I never met him in the flesh, but I met him in the spirit. And that's what unity is. How is it that you can meet someone and they can be like a son to you? It's because God put them there. Well, praise God. You know, I was reading here. I want to share this with you. I was reading here in the book of Genesis. And how in verse 20, chapter 2 in verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now listen to this. Every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, everybody had a helper but Adam. Look what God did. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, I want you to hear this. God is calling for us to return to his idea, if you will, his vision of the home, not our vision, not our ideas, not our ambition, but the ways of God. Something as fundamental as what I'm about to say, and as simple as it is complicated in the minds of those who are rebellious and have began to serve Baal instead of the God Almighty, Yah. Listen to me. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. And when we come to the place where we think it's what we think, then we lose out. We lose the essence of what God has said in his word. When we began to think that we know it better than God, we lose the essence of the presence of God in the home. So tonight, family relationships, and I want you to pray, and I want husbands and wives to get on the broadcast. If you're not with your partner, if they at work, you be there and you pray. And I speak all over the country that you and your husbands would sit down together. 347-539-5173. And we're going to get into this. I'm in Genesis chapter 2, and how verse 20, Adam gave names to all cattle and fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. The whole animal kingdom had helpers. The giraffe had a helper. The zebra had a helper. The bird, the eagle, you name it. The fish had helpers. Everything but man. It's not by accident that God chose to take his priestly creation, which is man, and create from man a helper. Adam didn't have a helper. He had everything else. He had the world. He was responsible for all the animal kingdom, the land, the sea, the air. Dominion was given to man. But everything on earth had an helper but man. So here, verse 21 of Genesis 2, God formed a sleep. He caused a sleep, rather. A deep sleep wasn't just resting. He was in such a deepness of sleep. And it fell upon him, and Adam was slept. He slept, and nothing could wake him up until God created the helper. Simply as that, the helper. You see, the enemy saw this, and the enemy knew if the man was loyal to God and the woman was loyal to God and loyal to the man and the man loyal to the woman, Satan knew that the covenant of God was going to be fulfilled through the family. Oh, he was not having that. And still today, he don't mind if you get married. He wants to have his own marriages. He wants to copy and imitate God's marriages. He wants to create confusion. But I want you to understand that God himself has created his own idea of marriage to bring forth the promises of God. Now here's Adam. Every living creature had a helper. Everybody, and Adam was sitting there lonely because he had no helper. The lion could give birth to the lioness. The lion, the giraffe could have of its own kind. The fish can have of its own kind. But Adam could not have his own kind until God made a helper. There was no increase until the woman came. There was no covenant until the woman came. There were no children until the woman came. There were no laws. There was absolutely nothing until the woman came. And Satan saw this. He saw this, and he had a plan. And when you look around in our earth, you can see the plan of the enemy. But I bring you good news. Let's go back to Eden. Let's get back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm calling for pastors to begin to teach the congregation. Let's go back to the beginning. Because when we get the beginning and we go back to our first love, then we're going to see something that is deeper than a revival. We're going to see a spiritual revolution that the earth has never seen. We're going to see healing in the family. We're going to see healing in the finances. We're going to see life expanding. We're going to see an increase. Now, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God, I'm in Genesis 2, 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, watch this now, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam, verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. It wasn't just bone, but he said bone of my bone, body of my body. And he said flesh of my flesh. He understood birth because the first birth of creation did not come from the woman. Listen, ladies. I love you, but it came from the man. And Adam said, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Ladies and gentlemen, this verse 23, I can stop right here. Before I talk about the children, before I talk about the marriage, I want us to focus on verse 23. Now, I want you women to hear this. Childbearing came from the man. Birth came out of the man. The woman came out of the man. The only difference between the man and woman is the woman has a womb. So Adam said, you will be called woman, womb man. Why? You were taken out of man. Now listen, everybody knows, this is a saying, and many comedians say this, but before the comedian said it, parents said it. The father or mother will say to their child, if the child is being disobedient, the father will say, boy, I brought you, the mother will say it first, I brought you into this world and I will take you out. The father would echo it. Where did that statement come from? It came from this. I brought you here and I will take you out. Now, we laughed about it at family reunions and we laughed about it in churches. But why was that statement so important to the parents? Simply due to this. You came from me. I am responsible for you, but you will not dishonor me. Now listen, y'all. Parents, I say to you, we want honor from our children, but God wants honor from us first. Now look what happened here. Creation was created. Adam was lonely. God put him in a deep sleep. God took the rib out of the man, created the woman. Adam looked at the woman, and he said, you will be called woman because you were taken out of me. Verse 24, here comes what constitute marriage and covenant. Verse 24, Genesis 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So in a sense, Adam left his father God. He left his mother God. The only mother he knew was creation. And now cleave unto the woman, his wife. Now verse 25 is interesting in Genesis 2. Listen to this. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now let me ask you something. God simply took the woman from Adam and called the woman wife. Women, when you are taken out of the man, a husband and wife in a relationship, if you would allow God to birth you, you are wife. Now, there's something so sacred about this. And the serpent in chapter 3, he was more subtle than any beast of the field. All of the beasts Adam named. But this serpent was more cunning and crafty than all of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. God made them all, but this serpent was more crafty than all of the rest. Now watch this, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He just simply talked to her, and she listened. And the woman said unto the serpent, she had a conversation, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That conversation brought evil on the earth. Hear me closely. I am not ignorant to blame the woman for the hell on earth. I want to talk to you about spiritual strategies, that how the enemy wants to have a conversation concerning marriages. This conversation should have never taken place between the woman and the serpent. She should have been in a conversation with her husband. This is how the enemy corrupts good manners. This chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3, brought in evil communication. It was an evil communication, and it corrupted the manners of the home. Don't think male or female now, because you're going to lose it. Don't think church and what you heard in church, or you're going to lose it. But hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is saying to all of us. Now verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Right there, right there brought in the spirit of usurping authority over God's word. Did you notice I said usurping authority over God's word and I didn't say husband? I bring you liberty, not condemnation. Listen good. Not with your head, but with your heart. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The serpent introduced the carnal ram. Listen now. The serpent introduced to the woman the carnal ram. The carnal mind was and is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is why the enemy wanted a conversation, because he wanted to infect the family. Now, we can see in the earth, we can see how man makes his own laws and how man has made it so everybody can be married, regardless of if you're the same sex. I show no condemnation, or do I teach condemnation, but I want you to hear how the enemy wants his own marriage. And when the Bible said in the last days, one of the signs will be they will forbid to marry. Let me help you. They will forbid to marry the opposite sex. It's not talking about they're going to forbid to marry in and of its own, but they will forbid to marry the opposite sex. No condemnation. Now watch this. Verse 5, for God do know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Now this is the serpent. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He wanted man to know them both. He didn't want man to know the goodness of God. He didn't want man to know the life of God. Satan wanted man to know both good and evil at the same time, and then act save. He wanted religion. He wanted the Pharisees, the scribes and Sadducees. He didn't want people that believed in holiness and believe in God and believe in what God has told us to do according to his word. He didn't want peace in the home. He wanted confusion. You see, the enemy does not relax when it's peaceful. It disturbs him. He wanted evil. Are you getting this? He wanted complete evil. Now look here, look here, look here. Verse 6, and when the woman saw, here it comes, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, cares of this life, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and she did eat. Now, here's what's amazing. Now, I'm going to speak simply to men. I don't care if you're a pastor, God bless you. I don't care if you're an apostle, God bless you, or evangelist, God bless you, pastor and teachers, regardless of what you are. But if you are a man, especially in authority, which means you are a husband or a husband-to-be, hear what I'm about to tell you. Religion puts this woman by herself with the serpent. I come to tell you, and I speak as an apostle, the man was standing right there while his wife was having a conversation with the serpent. Now listen to me. The enemy did not want the man to be the decision maker. Now, I believe both should. But hear me now. Hear me without indifference. The enemy wanted the woman to represent the family and not the man. So he gave his attention to the woman. Now, I won't have to say everything, but let me say it this way. Do you notice that there are a people on earth that rather talk to the woman than the man, they being men themselves? Isn't that amazing? They want to talk to the woman. The man can be standing right there. and their eyeballs will look at that woman and not the man. In other words, don't acknowledge him, and being men themselves, feel like they are superior to the man, but they will give their attention as the serpent did. Now hear me now. If you're thinking of race, you're missing this man. But I want you to hear how the enemy has devised an evil strategy to destroy the home. Now hear me good. If you're tired of seeing your children die, if you're tired of seeing murder and rape and drugs and gun violence, I'm telling you tonight that this is one of the most important messages that I've been teaching in almost 40 years. Now listen to me closely. The enemy is out to destroy any identity of the promises of God, of covenant relationship. He wants profane relationships. He wants spiritual deformity. He wants rebellion to be the model family. He wants his own way of marriages. He wants idolatry. He wants iniquity. He does not want family to be normal. He wants it abnormal. And woman, you are the key. Now here is, listen, man, the man was standing right there, looking at his woman, his wife, as the enemy showed her attention. You see, the enemy was smart. He knew the one who would look at the tree. And watch this. Watch this now. Verse 6 of Genesis 3. I want you to hear me with your spirit. Listen, verse 6, Genesis 3. And when the woman saw, it didn't say the man, when the woman saw, not the husband, when the wife saw that the tree was good for food, that's the cares of this life, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it was about what she wanted. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. I can get wisdom from this. She took of the fruit, therefore, and did eat, and just simply gave. She didn't have to go look for Adam. Gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. He didn't say nothing. The old wimp. Old jellyback. He didn't say anything. He just simply ate it. There are a people on earth that wants authority over everybody. They want authority over every home. So they know if you use the woman. Come on now. If I wanted to sell a pencil. Now listen, y'all. If I wanted to make some money and sell a pencil. Somebody probably going to get this, and you probably see it on commercial, but I'm going to give this out there. If I wanted to take a pencil, and I wanted to sell that pencil, and I really want to sell it, all I got to do is put a pretty woman with some pretty legs, pretty eyes, and wrap her around that pencil. It will sell. Like the serpent was wrapped around the rod, brought healing. If the Israel will look up, they will live while they were in the wilderness and they were bit by serpents. If they will look up at the rod, and you notice that is a sign of the pharmaceutical industry, witchcraft. And not that what Moses did was witchcraft, but the people were, they were desperate for healing, but they were worshipers of idolatry. And God said, I'll show you a sign. And that's why we have Christ who died for us on the cross of Calvary. If we look at him on the tree, we live. Now listen, y'all. So the devil said, I got to do something. Because Because if I don't stop the family, my plan is in trouble. What I got to do, I got to demote the man, and I got to exalt the woman. Because she looked at the tree. She saw that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to her eyes. Women love pretty things. And a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of it, ate it, gave it to her husband. That's it. Look at verse 7. And the eyes, carnality, flesh. And the eyes, verse 7 of Genesis 3. And the eyes of them both. I'm telling you, the man was there. Both of their eyes were open at the same time. The woman ate it, which means her eyes open. The man ate it, and it says they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The enemy brought in shame. I'm going to show you how evil this shame is. A woman could be married to a man and get up to go to the ladies, to the bathroom, and put on a robe. Shame. Oh, I love you. I'm trying to help y'all. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ashamed of their own bodies. The enemy's plan to destroy the essence of marriage. He hates it. Oh, he hates it. He can't stand it. He hates it. I'm telling you, if you want to know what the devil hates, it's called marriage. It's when a man and woman are one. It bugs the enemy because he knows this is how the will of God is established on earth. Now look at this. So the eyes of them both were open. They made fig leaves. They sewed them together and made themselves aprons. And they heard a voice of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, both hid. Both hid. It wasn't just the woman. It was them both. I'm going to stop there at verse 8, and I'm going to pick it up right after this. I'm going to take a couple of calls. So keep your Bibles in Genesis chapter 3. We're going right back to verse 8. We're talking about, on Prophecy Alive, family relationships. I'll be right back. I shall live and not die. Well, God is so good, and he's worthy of all praises. And I want to take a caller here. Praise God. I got a 404. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, God bless. God bless you.
Oh, you're breaking up real bad. I love you, but I can't hardly hear you.
Pastor, how you doing tonight? Can you
hear? Yes, there's a bunch of static. I can hear you, though.
I always call it for prayer. We feel worse, God, whatever you got. God, you're living on your heart from the Lord.
Father, right now, I give you praise for this woman of God. I thank you for her spirit. I thank you, Lord, that she wants you. She wants more of you. And, Lord, she's tired of certain areas in her life, and I decree change. Woman of God, the Holy Spirit is telling me change. If you're willing to change with God, God's going to take you where you have never been taken. He's been dealing with you strongly about prayer and fasting. And the Lord wants you to obey. Obedience is the key to your blessings. There's been much roadblocks in your way, and I see a woman that talks too much. And you need to not concern yourself with her worries. And you need to cast your cares upon him. I would ask you to walk in that obedience, and you're going to see a complete change. Did you hear me? I want to get you to call me when it's more quiet because, you know, being on radio, we want to hear you. But I can hear you a little bit. But did you understand what I said, woman of God?
Yes, I heard.
I look forward to talking to you again. Love you now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. I have a 773. I'm coming to you now. God bless you. Thank you for calling Prophecy Alive.
God bless you. I just need a prayer. I need an emergency prayer, like they say.
Emergency prayer. Father, now.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for your power.
Thank you,
Lord, for your glory. And I ask, oh God, right now that you will stop everything the enemy is trying to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I command peace in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I command, I rebuke debt. I rebuke arguing and fussing and strife. Come against that spirit. I command the devil to behave now in the name of Jesus. I command peace to come over that place and to come over the minds, oh God. I rebuke family confusion. I rebuke fear and unforgiveness and bitterness and evil words.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, devil, you are a liar. And I come against you by the power of the Lord. And I command angels to come right there for this young lady and to help in Jesus' mighty name. Satan, I bind you hand and foot. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And you stop now. I command you by the authority of God. You stop now. Devil, you won't have your way. You've been cutting up. And I command you to stop. And may the peace of God rule. Ooh, Jesus. Woman, I can see it by the Holy Ghost. Young lady.
Thank you.
Say peace, young lady. Say peace be still.
Peace be still. This is Dazzling again.
This is who?
Dazzling.
I've talked to you before, haven't
I? Yes, the one from the beginning. I'm not there no more.
Oh, there you are. There you are. There you are. Hallelujah.
I'm having fear of death coming upon me. I mean, everything is out of control in my life. I'm in a church where I don't want to be, but I don't feel right. You know, I just don't know what else to do. You know, I just say, Lord, I mean, what is that I'm not doing right?
Let me tell you something.
Even family getting against me.
I got you. I know where you are. If you listen to my prayer, I got you. And to God be the glory. Listen to me. You did the right thing. You called. We're throwing out the lifeline. And listen, you're not confused, and you will not die. Did you hear me?
Yes.
You will live and not die. I want you to stay connected. Do you hear me?
Yes.
We're going to be in Chicago August the 2nd, but until then, I need you to stay connected. Do you have my number, me and my Queen Katrina, our number off the air? Do you have that number?
I think it should be still my message. I got a new number, though.
Okay, listen. Here's what I'm going to do. This number that you are calling from, I can reach you on this number.
Yes.
If I don't write it now, I'll lose it because it doesn't stay up there.
Yes.
0318. 0318, right?
Yes.
Okay. Spell your first name.
Jocelyn.
J-O?
J-O-C-E-L-Y-N.
Okay. Me and my queen are going to call you. We're going to stay in contact with you. Don't you worry. Don't you fear.
Thank you.
God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. I got your number. Me and my queen will be contacting you, okay?
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you, too.
The
queen,
right.
I say hello.
I will. Be careful what you say the rest of the day. Be careful.
I will.
Love you now.
Love you, too.
She's going
bye-bye.
To be just fine. Bye-bye. She's going to be just fine. She's going to be just fine. I'll be right back after this. Hallelujah. I shall live and not die. We left off at verse 8. Genesis 3 and 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Shame came in. Shame. You see, the enemy operates through shame. First, he gets us to sin. His desire is to get us in rebellion against God and then producing shame. And what shame does, shame replaces love. Instead of the husband loving his wife, shame keeps him from loving her the way God says love her. And instead of the wife loving her husband, shame, nakedness, keeps her from loving and being a helper to his wife. And then the enemy brings all of these excuses. But God has called marriages to peace. God has called peace. And I prophesy peace in every home. I prophesy peace to the husband, peace to the wives, peace to the children. People, we're going to make it. We've already made it by the blood of the Lamb. Hold your head up, woman. Hold your head up, man. Hold your head up, children. The glory of the Lord is coming in. Prepare for the glory of God. And verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? God is saying, wait a minute now. I didn't put shame on you. Who told you, Adam? I'm in verse 11 of Genesis 3. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Listen, if there's shame in a marriage, somebody ate something they shouldn't have. Come on, y'all. I bring you peace, not condemnation. But somebody's eating something that they shouldn't. This brings shame. God said, did you do something I told you not to do? Verse 12. And the man said, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Now, Adam, he wimped out, y'all. He wimped out. And Satan started producing from then on. Listen closely. He started producing weak men. Sin produces weak men and women that become men. The weak man. Now women, many women, have replaced the weak man. And the man has become simply the weaker vessel. I want you to hear this, and I want you to receive this, because this is coming straight from God. I'm not here trying to hookwink anybody. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit is saying, and I love you. But men have become weak. Men have become the weaker vessel because of shame. And women have replaced the man and became the rebellious man. Let's go back to Eden, and let's get it together. Now, look at this. Look at this now. Y'all look, watch this. Verse 13. And the Lord God said, I'm in Genesis 3 and 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The man made the excuse, and then the woman made the excuse, and said it was sin. She blamed it on the serpent when it was, let's go back here. Let me prove to you it wasn't the serpent. Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it, I said, she took of the fruit thereof. She took of the fruit thereof. She took it. And did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat, and their eyes were open. So here's the woman, the man blaming the woman, and the woman blaming the serpent. And the man was wrong, and the woman was wrong. The Bible said Eve just took it, and Adam took it from her. So if you're having issues in your marriage, it's not the woman's fault, it's not the man's fault, it's sin. So let's kill the blame now. Let's kill that noise. It's simply sin. Disobedience is sin. God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curse it, is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust art thou, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. There was a sacrifice going on, y'all. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, watch this, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, because of sin, the tree of life was hidden. Now, I have to go forward. When Jesus came, the tree of life was revealed. Jesus is the tree of life, and it was Jesus who was in the midst of the garden. Your marriages cannot last. Your children cannot last without Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm going to be bringing you more of this. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. See, God created the marriage relationship, ladies and gentlemen, to be a blessing to everyone. Everyone that is involved in your home as a family, husbands and wives, children, and beyond. But today, so many families are in trouble, alienated from one another. Husbands and wives not talking, not communicating. Parents and children not communicating. brothers and sisters not communicating. God has told us in the Word how to stop this. Listen to this. Romans 7:2-3. Husband and wives are bound as long as they both shall live. Matthew 19:3-9. Fornication is the only grounds for divorce. Adultery. Man should enter marriage fully recognizing that it's for a life. It's for life. Divorce other than by scriptural grounds are forbidden. God told the husband to love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. A man shall love his wife as Christ loved the church and he gave himself, he gave his own body. Jesus loved the church. He gave himself. And this is something that I've been looking at. Romantic moods or emotions does not constitute love. The love of Christ was not simply romantic and moodish and full of emotion, but it was a commitment, a choice. You know, the cart before the horse is normal now. Jesus did not wait till we acted lovingly toward him, but did what we needed to do, even when our conduct was unattractive. Jesus still sacrificed and loved us. So must husbands love their wives. Likewise, a husband should be committed to do his wife good, even if she is not acting lovingly toward him. Nor attracting him romantically. He must do good even at the cost of serious personal sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:7. Let's go there. 1 Peter 3:7. I want to look at this. You want to go there with me? It would be nice. Okay, I'm in 1 Peter 3. Let's look at this. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Men, husbands, we are not simply to want honor. We should give honor. Wives, don't abuse that honor and go in public and charade like you are the wife you should be. Or husband, don't go in public and charade like you are the husband that should be. Both of you, be what you should be in private. Charity starts at home and then it spreads abroad. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. I speak to so many marriages, me and my Queen Katrina, so many people seem to be lost, but God is bringing victory. I'm telling you, there are marriages that are being mended because they are obeying God's word. There is a revolution. You better hear what I'm saying tonight. There is a spiritual revolution going on for the families of the earth. I'm telling you, this tide, if you will, is going one way, but the glory of God is bringing such a supernatural shift to where that husband is going in rebellion. But there's an Acts, the 9th chapter, when Saul was on his way to Damascus and to kill Christians, there was a light that came from heaven, and the glory of God was so bright it is shine. And I prophesy the glory of God on that husband. Wife, if you've been praying, it seems like that husband will not change. I prophesy to you a light that is shining from heaven, going to shine and knock him off of his beast of pride. Husband, you that are praying for your wife, and it seems like her eyes are blind and it's not open. She's having a conversation with the enemy. The spirit of witchcraft had entered for to the man and woman. I decree, husbands, and pastors and preachers and prophets and apostles, the light of God is shining on your queen, on your wife, and I'm telling you right now, the power of God is knocking her off, of her beast of pride. Man, woman, rise up from the dead and repent, and Christ will give you light. I decree that. Ooh, don't you know the enemy hates this word? See, sometimes we want to prophesy, but I'm prophesying tonight. Sometimes we want somebody to help us. I'm helping you tonight. Prophecy is counsel. It's exhortation. I got to come against the devil that's trying to destroy your church. Trying to destroy your home. Pastors, your first church is at home. It has nothing to do with your residential area of this where the people of God meet. It's at your home address. Praise God. Women, be the first lady of your home. Men, be the pastor of your home. I don't agree with that first lady stuff anyway, but you know, for some of you that do, God bless you. Hallelujah. Women, it's going to take more than a big hat to look like a pastor's wife. Glory to God. It's going to take more than a special seat. Glory to God. Pastors, it's going to take more than a chair that you sit in to make you a man of God. Hallelujah. We got to live safe when ain't nobody looking. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3 and 7, a man should try to understand what his wife needs. 1 Peter 3 and 7, rather than being bitter towards her. He would not expect her to do heavy work since she is not as strong, and he will respect her as being of equal spiritual value with himself. Hear me, men of God. Your wife have equal spiritual value the same as you do. I mean, you get churches, you know, they got the pastor up here and got the wife down here. Quit that mess. You listen, leaders, folk will put you on a pedestal, and the first time you show any sign that you're human, they'll drop you like a hot potato. Don't play with me. Come on in here. They'll call you man of God, pastor this. Oh, I love my pastor. I just thank God for my pastor. Ain't nobody like my pastor. Ain't nobody like my pastor. Bunch of silliness. And the first time they see flesh on you, all of a sudden you're the devil. See, people don't, let me tell you something. I know how to weed folk. People want you to, like Naaman in the Bible, wanted the prophet to lay hands on them. People want you to lay hands. They want you to pray. They want you to cry for them. They want you to do their work. But the Bible said, work out your own salvation. But as soon as you start teaching, oh, Lord, that's when you get the real soldiers. I'm looking for leaders, not followers. I love what we do here, and I give God absolute glory. But the Holy Ghost told me to shift and begin to teach. That's when you see who's really with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. I love it. So listen to this. We have to understand 1 Corinthians 7, beginning at 3. It talks about husbands also show love and expressing affection and fulfillment, fulfilling the wife's sexual needs. You know, husband, don't be looking at somebody else. Look at your own wife. Wives, look at your own husband. There was a reason why you married him. Husband, there was a reason why you married her. And you sit around looking, treating somebody else better than your wife. That's silliness. Jesus himself expressed love and affection for the church, both with his words and also with his life and his deeds, didn't he? God anointed men not only to provide and take care of their families, but to show love. 1 Timothy 5 and 8, as the head of the family, a man should provide not just for himself, but for his whole family. He should provide, he should give not only biblical instruction and love them, but he should spend that quality time with them. Men having occupations or businesses outside the home. Many scripture examples show men employed away from the home in such occupations as shepherds, carpenters, physicians, fishermen, merchants, farmers, sellers, and preachers, and tent makers. Read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28-29. And this is God's given duty of the husband. Now, the enemy wants, he wants to profane and retard the home. Now, you have people nowadays, they claim the husband shouldn't be the head of the house. And even parts of the government comes against that. But listen, you that love the Lord, you understand that the government is on the shoulders of Jesus. And some people claim that the man should not exercise authority when it comes to his home, or that his authority should be limited in certain areas in practice. And many times we see women as leaders in the home making family decisions. But it should be both. Ephesians 5:22, the 22nd verse to the 24th verse. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I know people want to change that. Neither his wife nor their parents are the authority of his family. Some families are messed up because the mom-in-law ruling the house. Something wrong with that picture. But you could have stayed at home if you're going to be a mama's boy. Hallelujah. Love is the leader of the home. Love will lead a husband to consider the needs of his wife and children. He will make good decisions, not just to please himself, but for the whole entire home. Now, men, the husband is not the final authority of the household. The man of God will give an account to God for his decision. And it takes both. If the woman of God fails to fulfill her godly duties, this does not justify the husband in failing to fulfill his. Romans chapter 12. God speaks to the wife. Modern feminists say a woman does not need a man, but should find fulfillment outside the marriage. Genesis 2. We went through this, chapter 18, verse 18 through 26. The woman was created to be a companion and helper to the man. She is not required to marry. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 7. But by nature, she would find fulfillment. You understand. In loving and caring for a family. Ladies, listen to me. If you want love and respect, that's an indication that God made you to give it. Men, if you crave honor and respect, that's an indication, that's a spiritual signal for you to give it. There should be, listen closely, there should be absolutely no takers in a marriage. Takers are not to be married. Marriage is for givers. Even God so loved the world until he gave. If you love somebody, you're going to give. It's easy to give some money, but this is not about money. You're going to give of yourself. You're going to be emotionally connected. How can you lay down to sleep with somebody and there's no connection? That's for whores and prostitutes. That's not for the people of God. You ought to be connected to the one that you're with. I'm speaking to both man and woman. You can shout amen. I can hear you in the spirit. I love you. The wife should be to show affection and fulfill her husband's sexual needs. Young women, Titus chapter 2, verse 4, young women should be taught to love their husbands and their children. And this is something that a woman can learn to do again. Remember, love is a matter of choice and commitment, not primarily a romantic move. Some women feel like I'm not being loved if there's no candlelight. Turn off the lights. Well, if that's the only time you feel loved, then you got the whole thing twisted, baby. I love you. If you're going to be a wife, the word tells you, just as the church should submit to Christ, not rebellious but respectful, so the wife must abide by all her husband's decisions, especially if they're godly. Now, if he tell you go jump off a building, then you crazy as a hussy if you do. But if that man is following God, you help him. The Bible tells you to sanctify him if he wasn't. How much more should you bless him and he's following God? Titus 2 and 5, young women should be taught to be obedient to their husbands. This does not mean that the woman has less ability or less value than the man. But someone must be in charge to make decisions in the home, and God has determined that responsibility belongs to the man. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that, and, you know, that's why the earth is, you know, crossed up and mixed up, and everybody marrying everybody. Folks done lost their mind. And a little mind, some people have, they lost that. I love you. If you hear my words, I promise you, you'll have a happy home. If you hear my word, if you reject my word, I promise you, your house will be a mess. Praise God. I'll be right back right after this. Praise God. God is so good.
You can, I know you will, fight my battles if I just keep still. Your midnight is over, I can see the breaking of day. Where you are at now, you won't be there always. Oh, I believe some way that's gonna be brighter day. If you believe in CIA, I believe. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. There's gonna be, no matter how dark it may seem. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Do you believe that somewhere there's gonna be a bright
to believe. There's a brighter day ahead, and I promise you, if you hear God's word, if you heed God's word, and just forget pride and arrogance, and I'm just going to do it my way. I don't believe that in the scripture. Christ came, and after the cross, I don't have to be subject to nobody. Okay, get in your car with that attitude. Just drive past a red light, drive past a stop sign, go to work when you want to. You see, folk done went crazy. The Bible says, let every soul be subject to the higher power. You establish your own righteousness, and that's why we got a bunch of children walking around here with the spirit of being bastard. I don't have to obey nobody. And then when they get in trouble, then they want God. We got grown-ups like that. I don't have to do nothing, but as soon as they get into trouble, they want God. Let's quit this. All of us are children of God. I did say children. You know, the Bible said grow in grace. You don't get grown in grace. You grow. We got a bunch of people don't want to grow. They grown. You understand? They grown, gone, singing their own song all alone. You understand? That spirit of rebellion will wreck your house. Husband, you ain't supposed to do what you want to do. Wives, you ain't supposed to do what you want to do. I heard a woman one day, she talked to me, I just don't need no man. You know, I got Jesus. I said, stay single. I mean, that's cool. If you feel that way, stay single. Right? And would you pray to God send me a husband? No, baby, no, I'm not going to pray to God send you a husband. That would be ignorant of me. Because you grown, you gone, you on your own, you don't need no man. I want somebody that'll respect me. You know, I said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to love him if he, I said, honey, you don't need to be married. You need to stay single. See, I tell it like a T.I. is. I don't sugarcoat. I don't let nobody prostitute me. I'm going to tell the truth. My queen will tell you, I don't bite my tongue. That hurts anyway. Have you ever made a mistake and bit your tongue? Oh, hallelujah. Make your toes curl, woman. Bless God from heaven. We tell the truth. The Bible said cleanliness is next is like godliness. And you know, you know, and it's kind of sad what I see here and in the earth. People want to do what they want to do. And then we want God to, you know, I've got to do this. I got to tell you this. Go to Acts, the 9th chapter. I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this. Acts chapter 9, I want to show you this. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Acts chapter 9. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Now I want to look at this with me. That's what I want. Let me go here. Excuse me for a minute. Hallelujah. You know, you hear people say that all the time. All the time. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Child, and you got to clean your house. Yeah, Lord, a good woman, a saved woman keeps her house clean. Praise God. And you hear people say that in church. You hear a bunch of stuff like that. And people just quote that verse and just, you know, as long as I keep a clean house, then that's godliness. Come on, y'all. As long as I keep my house clean, that means I love the Lord. You understand? And then Jesus gave us power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Come on. Unclean. See, there's an unclean spirit. If you look at Matthew 10, and in verse 1, Jesus had called unto his disciples. He called 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Didn't he? To cast them out and to heal all the manner of sicknesses and disease. Matthew 10 and 1. And so we have to understand that uncleanliness is talking about more than keeping a clean house. We got a lot of houses that are clean, but a lot of minds that are dirty. You understand? So when the Bible talks about cleanliness is next to godliness, he's not talking about simply a clean house. He's talking about a clean spirit. A clean spirit. And this is what God is calling for. Verse 37 of Acts, the 9th chapter, listen to this. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. Verse 36, let's go there first. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is being interpreted as called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, and which she did. She did good things. Verse 37, Acts 9, 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Watch this. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows, listen to this, stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. Verse 40, get ready for this. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Glory to God. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows presented, and they presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Listen to this power. This is cleanliness. This is clean. When we obey God's word, we are clean. We are clean. Let's go to another scripture that proves this. St. John. Here, let me go here. Glory to God, I feel this. St. John chapter 17, verse 17. It says, sanctify them through truth. Through thy truth, for thy word is truth. I'm going to read that again. St. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word, the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4 and 4, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Here in St. John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth, clean them through thy truth. Your word is truth. So what is cleanliness? The word of God. This is simply the only way for us to stay clean is through the word of God. I mean, if you don't believe it, you can't be clean. I love you so much. I bless God for you. God is a good God, isn't he? So families, I pray right now that families will come together, that there may be a spiritual revolution in the homes. Let's stop making money for the enemy by having the home in order. Praise God. Young people, begin to get yourself in order. Don't go to jail by doing stupid stuff. Repent. Be born again. I'm here to help you. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight I give you praise for your word. We've been on here an hour and a half, 90 minutes. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your delivering word that was delivered here concerning families, concerning cleanliness. I pray right now that you will save and deliver and set free and keep us. Bless us, enlarge your territory. Be with us. Let us not cause any pain, but restore in Jesus' name. Well, I love you all. I'll see you tomorrow night. This is Prophecy Alive. I'm your seer and prophet. Pray for me. My Queen Katrina and I, we love you. God bless you.
Your midnight is over. I can see the breaking of day. Where you are at now, you won't be there always. Oh, I believe some way there's gonna be brighter day. Oh, if you see the sea, be.